Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
I want to talk to you this morning on the title as we continue on in Mark about a sermon titled 2 Cents Worth. And last night we were sitting out on our front porch talking to my sister from Australia, and we were FaceTiming. It had been several weeks since we've talked. I had talked with Kay and Dave, and as we were sitting there on the front step, as it is in Valley Center, every 15 minutes. A train goes by, right? And the birds were chirping, and she's like, "Oh, it sounds so nice, the birds, you know." And I was like, "Yeah, but just wait, the train's coming." And then the train would roll through, and we'd continue on with the conversation and kind of pause while it crossed the nearest intersection by our house. And then about 15 minutes later, another train came through. You know, you all know how it is, right? And that's kind of like our world. Our world is noisy, isn't it? In so many different ways. I mean, even as you step into church, there's noise and things going on. And we live in a noisy world. If you've ever lived in an apartment, had that joy and that experience of maybe having that neighbor next door to you. Or I look at the students from SAGU living in dorm life. Man, I remember dorm life. It was like from Thursday through Sunday night, it was just loud, and music was loud, and people were loud. And if you've lived in an apartment, you're like, man, is my person, the neighbor above me treating, is their floor like a stage? What is going on up there, right? And it's just noisy. And we look at today's text from Mark 12, and there's a bunch of noise going on as well in the temple. But it wasn't the noise that was getting Jesus' attention. There was something else going on that grabbed his attention. In the past couple weeks, we've been looking at messages from Mark 11 and Mark 12, and we've seen Jesus interacting with the religious leaders of his day. They were called the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were very, very just difficult. I don't know a nicer way to put that, but they were very difficult, always trying to corner Jesus, always trying to trap him, get him to say something that was wrong, that would cause people to rebel or push against him. But in Mark chapter 12, verse 38, Jesus really exposes some of their motive. He says this, "And in his teaching he said, 'Beware of the scribes who like to walk around with long robes and like greetings in the marketplace and have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayers, they will receive a greater condemnation.'" Verse 41, "And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on.'" Father, in the next few moments, speak to us through your word. And may our life be an offering of worship to you. God, may we give you all because you're deserving of all, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we know that from previous weeks, we know that we're about 48 hours away from the crucifixion happening. Jerusalem has swollen with population as people have come in for Passover. It's a place that is loud at this very moment. And Jesus has cleared the temple of the money changers the day before. He's been arguing with religious leaders. He will be explaining in the coming moments, you know, and that what we would say chapters, right, of his return, that he is coming quickly. And so as we step into the next week, we're going to be stepping into a series, a mini-series from the book of Mark called The Last Days Living, as we're going to be looking at end-time stuff. And Jesus is lingering in the temple now. Having taught about the great commandment and calling out the scribes on some things, and he steps back with his disciples, right? And he really calls them to him, and he says, "Now, watch the people worship. And the setting's loud. And if you could put the picture up on the screen, Andrew, of what the temple would look like. And we've had this up there a couple weeks ago, and I meant to have my laser pointer up here. But this is the temple that Jesus would have been at. And the big outer courts in this area right up here, this whole outlining area, would be the outer temple, about 15 football fields in length. It's huge. It's massive. The inner area there is the temple where the inner temple where sacrifices are offered and where the priests go into the most holy of holy place. And it was only the high priest that was allowed to go into the big structure right in the middle. The court of women would have been this in the little area in the front area there. Of the inner sanctuary, or temple, excuse me, was the court of women. And there was three different chests within that court that they would put offerings in. In verse 41, we read this, and he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering. Many rich people put in large sums. You can hear the noise, perhaps, of as a change is being dropped into the chest. And oftentimes, maybe you've sat in you've read that in your devotions, or you've heard a message, and they kind of pause and they talk about, well, man, the rich people just weren't giving right, and they should have been doing better, or whatever. But Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't bring attention to their offering necessarily. He focuses somewhere else. It's not like, you know, everyone go, hey, whoa, here comes Winston. Listen up, man. There's going to be a big rattle in the offering bucket now. As he comes, they were putting in large sums, but the Bible doesn't say that they were wrong, that they didn't give enough. Jesus motions their attention towards the widow, who's approaching the boxes, and it's like Jesus leans in, and the others follow suit, and they watch her. It's interesting that the cross is less than 48 hours away to me in this moment. And Jesus decides to watch people. He is sitting there watching people. He's taking it all in. And it just reminds me of this. Steve, just know God's watching you. Not in a way that's like this big eye in the sky waiting for you to mess up or something like that, but he's just aware of what I'm doing and how I'm engaging and how I'm responding. And I can't cover his eyes. I can't hope that he didn't see something. He cares about what we do. And so with 48 hours remaining on the clock, Jesus talks about money and he talks about our worship. It's interesting to me. God cares about giving, God cares about money, and God cares about what we do with our money. True, I mean, we talked about that here recently, and most of our adult life, how do we spend it? I mean, I know some of our SAGU friends, they just graduated, and they're getting ready to, like, move away from, you know, college life, perhaps, and step into, man, now I got to work all the time. Now I got this, you know, so we spend the majority of our life making money. So that we can spend money to live, right? It's not wrong, it's just life. Jesus, 16 out of the 38 parables deal with money. 1 out of 10 verses in the gospel deal with that subject. Over 2,000 verses in the Bible have to deal with money, while there's only 500 on prayer, while there's only 500 on faith. Or excuse me, 500 deal with prayer and faith total. So this lady's contribution means very little to the administration of the temple, right? I mean, she's throwing a couple pennies in there. That's it. So in the grand scheme of things, of the finances of the temple, it's little. But guess what? It meant the world to Jesus. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing in the offering box, for they have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Her faith amazed Jesus, and he wanted her generosity to amaze the disciples. Understand this lady's situation. If she was in our society today, she would be termed as someone who had three strikes against her already. I mean, next week we'll be celebrating Father's Day and having some baseball fun here and just enjoying that. But here she has three strikes against her. She was strike one. She was a woman in a patriarchal society. Strike two was her husband had died and had left her alone. Strike three was this, that she had no position in society, no investment to fall back on, no social security to rely on. She was a poor widow, literally meaning that she was poverty stricken. She was homeless. She would be someone that you would see on the streets in our day that you would interact with downtown or under a bridge or on a street corner. Says that she gave two small copper coins, the smallest, which would have been the smallest denomination in the Jewish currency. About 1/64th of a denarius, which a denarius would have been a daily wage. So, I don't know, say $2 is what she gave. She could have played the victim card. She could have said, you know what, this is all I have to live on. This is all I have to get food tonight, to make it till tomorrow. And then when tomorrow comes, I don't know what I'll do because this is it. She could have said, I can't do it. She could have, some would have said, well, man, she would have been justified if she would have just stayed home. But she could have focused on what she was lacking instead of what she was there to do, and she was there to worship. She was there to worship a God who watches over you and I, Psalms 121. She was there to worship a God who knows you, who formed you, who cares for you. She was there to worship a God who knows your pennies and your account and the hairs on your head. Listen, if we're not careful, we can lose our grip on what's really important. And she didn't let her lack determine her worth, did she? Last time I checked, worship was vertical, it wasn't horizontal. And now your worship, we know this, that as you gather in a place, and I think about this and just experiences that I've had through following Jesus, that there's been moments and times where I showed up at a church service or it was a conference or maybe it was back in the day when I was in Bible college and you had to go to chapel every single day. You guys don't have it too bad. We had to go is it every day at Segu anymore? No, four times? Okay. Man, it was just times where you're like, I don't want to be here. I could go study or whatever. And you go, and the people that are around you, they're dialed in, they're worshiping, and that just moved me. That would move me into worship. But worship's not primarily horizontal. Obviously, it's vertical, but I just say all that to say this, that your worship does set a thermostat in the room, doesn't it? It does influence those that are around you. It can propel them into the presence of God. And so what I want to do just real quickly is just I want to just give you seven lessons from this widow. And I'm going to be quick with this. But the first lesson I learned looking at this text today is this, that give gladly and quietly. Scripture is full of promise of God's blessing for our giving. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Proverbs 11:24, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. Micah chapter 3 verse 10 tells us, I will pour out my blessing, the Lord says to us, so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it, put me to the test. It's interesting to me that Jesus's first message, he deals with our heart of worship in our giving. In Matthew chapter 6. It's interesting to me that he uses a widow's generosity and faith as an example of someone in his last words. So in the beginning of his ministry in Matthew 6, he talks to us about our attitude and our heart of worship and our giving. But at the end of his ministry in Mark chapter 12, he pulls this living example out for us. that when we give to win the applause of others, we miss out and we forfeit God's applause. That's what Matthew 6 is all about. Next thought, no matter how many strikes we have against us, we need to stay connected to God. She had 3 strikes against us. She was still swinging. I love that. She was still worshiping. She was still stepping in faith. And this week, I don't know how many strikes you may have against you right now, you feel. Or what you're going to do, or where you're at. You may feel like giving up. You may have lost a job. You may be in a new place. You may be fearful of what's next. Can I just encourage you to do what the widow did? Go and worship. Find yourself in the presence of God. Number 3, we can give without expecting or demanding anything back, even in tough times. When I think about this widow, I can't help but think of another widow in the Old Testament. There was a famine in the land, and God had supernaturally fed Elijah, right? And was sending him he was delivering, not by drones, but by ravens, meal to Elijah. And Elijah moved on from that provision and went to a small village called Zarephath. There he found a widow and her son, and Elijah engaged them. And the famine, there was a famine in the land. It was severe. And he had asked her for food and water. And the widow and the son were out of supplies. They only had a little flour, a little oil. We're familiar with the story. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 12 says this. She said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat and die." And Elijah told her to trust the Lord. And what did she do? She did, right? And she gave when she almost had nothing, like this widow that we are reading about in Mark 12. And she gave with no expectation that God would do anything, like the widow in Mark 12. And God honored her faith and provided for them for the rest of the drought. She didn't give to get. 4th thought this morning. Realize Jesus gave us far more than we could ever give back to him. I think we have to pause and just think about that. That we got to look long instead of short sometimes. None of us will ever outgive Christ. In the early hymn of the church, Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. I won't take time to read it this morning, but this song describes Christ in 3 stanzas. It describes his humility. It describes his sacrifice and his exaltation. And we won't sacrifice without humility. And the Father won't exalt us unless we gladly sacrifice. And the reason we give is because Christ gave himself to us, and we're amazed at his generosity. I mean, just to think and to stop and ponder yet again what Christ did for us, that he left all the splendor of heaven, the presence of his Father, to come and walk on a broken earth to restore us to right relationship with the Father. Number 5, we need to abandon our trust in money to fulfill us and trust only in God. She could have said, "There are thousands of people here worshiping today and sacrificing, and they're not going to care if they get my 2 cents. They aren't going to notice if I don't give." When you give, you're playing a role in the kingdom of God. True? When you give, you're sending kids to camp. When you give, you're making it able to do an outreach like we'll be doing at the end of July with the Convoy of Hope. When you give, you're able to send missionaries to far-off places. When you give, you're making it able for a pastor in Soacha, Colombia, who emailed me this last week just to update me about what's going on. And he's like, "Man, thank you so much for your church's generosity, because things are bad right now with COVID right now in Soacha. Thank you for your generosity." It helps with the needs of benevolence. It provides materials to help disciple people. Number 6, ultimately, we give to God, not just to the church. You read the account earlier in Mark chapter 12 that we read this morning, and we learn real quick that the temple wasn't perfect. There was brokenness there. There was corruption there. But that didn't stop her, did it? She understood that she wasn't giving to the temple, she was giving to the Lord. We know this, that there's no perfect worship setting. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect people, right? I mean, we know that, right? And if we get our eyes on the imperfections and we think to ourselves, man, I better not go. You know, if we find a perfect place, don't go there because you'll ruin it, right? Because none of us are perfect. We're broken. And she doesn't make excuses because of how the scribes were behaving in verses 38 and 40. She's loving what Jesus loves. And her heart wasn't fixed on the imperfect temple. Her heart was fixed on God. Finally, number 7, if the worship team would come back up, we can be sure simply that Jesus is watching us. Jesus sees our worship. He sees our engagement. He sees our pursuit of Him. The benefit of selfless giving isn't fuller pockets. It's sheer joy of knowing that our gifts delight our Father. I mean, that, to know, whether it be giving of our tithes and our offerings, of our finances, or giving of our vocal worship and music, or giving through prayer, or whatever our act of worship is, that our Heavenly Father sees it, and it can move Him. That He would stop everything else that was going on, you know, was running through His mind in the next 48 hours before the cross, and said, see that widow? See her worship? I like that. I don't know about you, church, but that's the type of worshiper I want to be. Lord, that I'd be willing to give whatever You would ask me to give, that I would be generous, but God, that I would give and I would live for an audience of one. That I wouldn't care who else is in the temple, in the case of this widow, giving, and I don't care how much they're giving, because obviously most of them can outgive me, God, but here's my best. Will You take it? And will You use it? And will it grab the attention of Your heart? Father God, this morning, we thank You for the simplicity of Your word, but God, for the high calling of it. Lord, I pray just for all of us that we would be not so accustomed, and we would not grow so comfortable being in Your presence that we would lose extravagant worship. Worship like this widow. God, who gave her all. God, we want to give You our best because You are deserving of nothing less than the best. God, so as we step into this song of worship, first off, maybe someone is in here this morning and, Lord, that they've never given themselves to You. They've never offered themselves fully to You. They've never asked You to be their Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, they need to begin with step one, stepping into a relationship with You. Not trusting in anything that they can do in and of themselves to be in right standing with You, but all they can trust in is what You did for them, Jesus. That You went to the cross and You died for their sin, for the sin of humanity, to restore right relationship with them. And if there's anyone in the room this morning that needs to begin there to receive Your great gift of salvation and know the joy of salvation. God, would they just pray in their own words right now, Lord, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord and my Savior. I give you my life. Guide my steps. I want to learn to worship you. I want to learn to live for you. Lord, help me to do that. God, for the rest of us, Lord, may we learn from the example of this widow in our worship. God, may we be extravagant. May we not care who else is in the room. May we not care what everyone else is giving. But God, we know that you're watching, and we want to give you our best because you are deserving of nothing less. And so, Lord, as we step into this time of worship, one last song before we depart this place today, may we give you our best in our vocal worship. Lord, we pray in your mighty name. In your mighty name. Amen and amen. Church, would you stand with me? If you want to come to the altars this morning and just spend time praying and worshiping the Lord and the offering in the altars, please feel free to do so, but let's step to the Lord and worship. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that Paul's admonition in Romans 12, Lord, to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you, is a reasonable act of worship, Father God. Lord, that all of us, all of who we are, God, has opportunity to worship you, to lavish our love upon you. God, just as last week we talked about loving you with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, with all our strength, with every area of our life. God, to worship you with everything that we have and find joy and find pleasure and not hold anything back. There's freedom in that, God. May we learn that. May we encounter it. And Lord, may we express it. Lord, that no matter where we go this week, as we live a life of worship to you, as we offer everything that we have to you, God, and we step into our office place or our work environment or into a store or into our home or we come back to church, God, that Lord, worship, our worship towards you would just help create and set an atmosphere, and Lord, even divine appointments would happen. Lord, where people would encounter you as we encounter you. Lord, as we leave this place today, may we go in your grace and in your strength and in your comfort and God, with an awareness of your presence and an awareness of, Lord, you are deserving of all, so have it all, even if it's our last 2 cents. Have it all, God, because you're deserving of it. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.